Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, February 19, 2016. The South Sudan government says the UN mission in South Sudan should protect civilians trapped in what the UN calls ethnic clashes in Malakal.
One of the main tasks of UNMISS is the protection of the civil population. And the fact that they are unable to provide the necessary protection in that camp is their sole responsibility, and the government of South Sudan cannot be held answerable.
And civilians have deserted Wau town following hours of gun battles in that town.
They say nobody gets out of home, no business activities, shops remain closed. So as I'm speaking to you now, the situation in Wau, you can't hear a gunshot, but people still don't move. A few people move, but still you move with fear.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The medical charity MSF says the death toll from the shooting in Malakal has risen to 18, including two MSF staff. The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon condemned the attacks and warns that any act of aggression towards the UN and its facilities could amount to a war crime. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Medicines Sans Frontiers, or Doctors Without Borders, provides medical services inside the UN's protection of civilians camp in Malakal. The French medical charity says it is treating dozens of civilians wounded in clashes that appeared to be ethnically motivated. MSF Country Deputy Director Marcos Bachmann says his staff in Malakal is working around the clock to treat those wounded during Wednesday night's violence.
We have received 73 wounded patients. The majority of them have received gunshot wounds, 45 of them. Among the admitted patients, unfortunately, we have seen so far 16 deaths, 5 dead upon arrival, and 11 patients who succumbed to the severe injuries they have sustained in the camp. In addition, unfortunately, we have lost the lives of two of our staff members working with our team in Malakal.
The fighting broke out Wednesday night at the Malakal POC camp inside the compound of the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, or UNMISS. The camp hosts nearly 50,000 internally displaced persons who fled fighting between government forces and former rebels of the SPLM in opposition in December 2013. UNMISS says the clashes erupted between youth from the Dinka and Sulu communities. It is not clear what sparked the fighting. Bachmann says MSF's only health center at the camp has been affected. He says his organization is facing challenges to help the victims of the latest violence.
Other medical facilities have been affected by the fighting and have been destroyed. So other medical actors have lost their structures. And as we speak, the MSF hospital is the only medical facility accessible for the population of the Malakal POC.
The International Organization for Migration, or IOM, says the fighting has destroyed two of its primary health care clinics in the camp. IOM says an estimated 25,000 IDPs have fled from the POC camp. IOM Communications Officer in South Sudan, Ashley McLallin, says the death toll in Malakal could rise.
First responders from medical NGOs and IOM are treating the injured, which were estimated to be at least 91 people on the morning of 19th February. Casualty figures will likely increase once humanitarian workers gain access to the affected areas of the site.
McLallin says IOM is deploying additional staff and emergency medical supplies in Malakal to help the victims of the fighting. UNMISS issued a statement yesterday warning that the perpetrators of the attack could be charged with war crimes. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
South Sudan's government spokesman and Minister of Information says the UN mission in South Sudan should be held responsible for failing to stop the fighting among internally displaced persons at the UN compound in Malakal. Michael Makui says the government cannot intervene because the fighting took place within a UN facility. He says UN peacekeepers should stop the deadly violence immediately.
The government does not know much about the situation in Malakal because it happened in the UNMISS camp. Today I understand that UNMISS forces have managed to bring the situation under control.
Can you say that South Sudan is a safe country? Is it safe?
South Sudan is a safe country, and even if the UNMISS was, now it is the UNMISS camps, which are now turning out not to be safe. Remember very well there was Sayers. This type of fighting also took place here in Juba last year in the UNMISS camp. Now it has occurred in Malakal. Not happening outside the government control areas. It's not happening, but it is happening within the UNMISS camp. So I call upon the UNMISS actually to protect the population that are with them in the camps.
So are you saying, Mr. Minister, Malakal, this camp where the incident took place, is not in a government control area? Is that correct?
It is within the camp of UNMISS. Of course, you know UNMISS is a camp, and that camp is under the control and the management of the UNMISS. It's not within the government area.
And who controls the place where UN mission is? Is it under your control, your government forces, or the rebels?
The UN mission is within the government control area. But the camp as such, that area within the fence of the UNMISS compound is fully under the control of the UN. SPLA, the government does not enter there because it is fully under the control of the UNMISS. And it is the UNMISS that is responsible for the protection of these people, not the government of South Sudan.
You said that the camp where the incident took place at Malakal is under the control of UNMIL forces. This is your country. Why do you leave the security of your citizens to UNMIL?
Well, you see, UNMIS is a protected area, just like an embassy in any country. And there is no way we can enter that camp without being called by the UNMIS administration. So that place is protected. It is fully under their control. They have their forces there who are providing the necessary protection and security. You know very well the UNMIS. One of the main tasks of UNMIS is the protection of the civil population. And this is what they are doing. And the fact that they are unable to provide the necessary protection in that camp is their sole responsibility. And the government of South Sudan cannot be held answerable.
That's South Sudan's government spokesman, Michael Makoy, speaking with VOA's James Batty earlier today from Juba. South Sudanese politicians are also blaming the government and the United Nations peacekeepers for failing to protect civilians in Malakal UN camp for internal displaced persons. An official with the Democratic Change Party is calling for a thorough investigation into what caused the deadly clashes. Philip Thonaleu has more for VOA from Juba.
Lema Kol, the leader of the Democratic Change Party, blames the government and UNMISS for not protecting civilians in Malakal, and warns the fighting could spread to other parts of the country.
It points to a very dangerous direction. The government will be held responsible for what has happened because the attack was done by soldiers wearing official uniform, targeting two ethnicities and burning the tents of the UN compound, the place. And there was nobody coming to the rescue of the armed, innocent civil population that were being targeted.
Onyoti Adigo, the minority leader in South Sudan Parliament, also accuses UNMISS peacekeepers of failing to stop the fighting. UNMISS is mandated by UN Security Council resolution to protect civilians in South Sudan. Adigo says UNMISS left thousands of civilians to seek authentic protection in the aftermath of the clashes.
So it is very unfortunate that the UNMISS protectors unit who are there were not able to protect the civilian. They were left alone. These civilians were left alone to be killed. Until yesterday morning, I think the situation came to control around 2 or 3 p.m. yesterday.
Adigo also accuses militia affiliated with the Padang community of carrying out the attacks. He says the criminals behind the attack should be brought to justice.
So we are urging the national government and the UNMISS authority to quickly intervene and form an inclusive investigation team to go to Malakal for fact finding. I say inclusive, it should include all the partners to the agreement, because this is a violation of the agreement.
Adigo says the civilians whose tents and manships structures were burned during the clashes are now living in dire conditions. The lawmaker is appealing to humanitarian organizations to help provide food, medicine, and shelter for those civilians. For VOA News, I am Philip Thonaleu in Juba.
Mungume Dev's Rakarange contributed to that report from Juba. And there has been other deadly violence across South Sudan. Reporter Dimo Silva Aurelio is in Wau, where he says sporadic shooting ended late this morning. Updated figures of people killed in Wau have reached 10. Silva tells Ayen Bior there is heavy presence of armed soldiers in Wau who are largely concentrated in residential areas of Haifalata, Haijazira, and Bagari Jadid.
And in areas like Bagari Jadid, they are going on a search. They make some search in the houses that they suspect some elements, armed group who entered yesterday were responsible of the shooting in Wau, in Wau town. But generally, the situation in the town is a bit, there is no shooting around 9 to 10 now, there was no shooting. But they say nobody gets out of home, no business activities. Shops remain closed, and you can't move from where you are to the working place. There was an announcement made by the state government that people should open their shops and people should return to their places of work. But with the shooting that was going in the morning, still, people don't have the confidence to move out of their homes to go to the place of work or to go to the place of business.
You reported yesterday that 12 patients with bullet wounds were admitted to Wau Hospital. Do we know what their condition is? And is there an update on the total number of casualties?
As of yesterday, they received 13 people who are wounded. But this morning, the number of the wounded went up to nearly 15. And most of those ones, some of them are gunshots, some of them are cut by matches. And then in the mortuary, they said that they have received 10 bodies, which apparently 3 of them were taken by relatives for burial. But the rest were still in the hospital mortuary, in Wau Teaching Hospital.
Have humanitarian actors been given free and unfettered access to reach people affected by fighting in Wau?
In this condition here, it is very difficult really to see any humanitarian agency coming out. I could only see some few cars of UNMISS were patrolling around to see, especially the UNMISS security department. They were moving around the town to observe what is happening. But no any humanitarian agency could move out of their areas, even of their offices, as there was no movement. And there is no clear statement that has come from the governor's office. As yesterday, you understand, the deputy governor who was in charge of the town late evening was taken by the SPLA soldiers, was arrested. They were claiming that he has a hand maybe in this incident in Wau. But yesterday evening he gave a press statement whereby he was calling on the organized forces to respect civilians' property, to respect civilians' lives, and to protect their properties. That was his call yesterday. But unfortunately, in the evening, we never did not know what transpired over the night, and he was arrested and was taken. But at 11 today, we received that the information that the governor has arrived from Juba, and he was holding a series of meetings with the chiefs on how to address the situation. So as I'm speaking to you now, the situation in Wau, you can't see any gunshot, but people still don't move. A few people move, but still you move with fear.
That's our reporter Dimo Silva Aurelio in Wau speaking to Ayen Bior here in Washington. The situation in Yambio town of the newly created Budue state is tense. Residents there say there are frequent arrests and killing of civilians by South Sudan Army on daily basis. And they say that has created a climate of fear and intimidation in Yambio town. A local chief who does not want to be identified for fear of government reprisals says entire villages around Yambio town have been burned and destroyed. He says residents have been chased from their homes into the bush. The chief told South Sudan in Focus that South Sudan Army, which has intervened in local conflicts in the area, are siding with pastoralists grazing their cattle in western Equatoria. Efforts to resolve the conflict have been dwarfed by persistent targeting of youth by the SPLA. Other officials have tried to calm the situation by encouraging area youth to lay down their weapons and return home. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudan government and other international actors have released a report on what it will do to help boost the country's economy. That story is coming up when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Name one skill you think everyone should learn.
I think everyone should learn to read, yeah, because I don't think life is even possible without reading.
Know how to cook and also learn how to ride bicycles.
What I can say is the biggest skill is agriculture, when a person is supporting an agricultural process. If you are digging and you have a garden, you use that to attract for cultivation. I can say it is a good skill.
Everyone should know how to drive in case of emergency. You have your friend sick or your mother sick, so you can drive faster to go to the hospital.
If everyone has the skill of listening, there will be no conflict. We don't listen, we just talk.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The government of South Sudan is working with international partners to revive the country's crippled economy, which is struggling due to hyperinflation. The World Bank and the United Nations Development Programme are working with South Sudanese to address the challenges facing the country. Nabil Biagio reports for VOA from Juba.
The Diagnostic Integration Study was produced by a team of national and international experts working under the South Sudan Ministry of Trade, Industry and Investment. Economic experts say South Sudan's economy is in shambles. The government blames the economic challenges on the 2 years of fighting in the country. South Sudan's Deputy Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Marie Gervas Yak, acknowledges that the country is facing serious challenges.
South Sudan is currently going through a number of economic challenges, which are unprecedented in nature. Most of the economic challenges being faced by our country have their roots in the extreme dependence of our export earnings on the oil sector. This state of affairs is neither necessary nor inevitable.
Yak says the report will help the country to invest in South Sudan's non-oil sectors such as agriculture, tourism, and mining.
The government is committed to taking all the required measures to stabilize the macroeconomic situation in the country in order to put it on a sustainable growth path. To this, the DTIS report presents a clear roadmap and an action plan on what needs to be done.
The report urges the government to remove certain obstacles preventing potential local and regional investors from doing business in South Sudan.
We must strive, therefore, towards reducing the cost of doing business, enhancing transparency all around, and reducing the burden on enterprises while taking effective steps to promote investment and enterprise development. I would like to also mention here the strong commitment of the government to take all the recommendations of the DTIS report forward and to work on the implementation of Tier 1 and Tier 2 projects to further build trade capacities.
Eugene Owusu is the United Nations Development Programme representative in South Sudan. He says South Sudan has the potential to recover from its economic problems.
This is what this study, which you have in front of you, is all about. Making South Sudan an attractive and competitive member of the global community. And indeed helping South Sudan optimize its potential for transformational development to enable the good people of this young country live a life full of prosperity.
Lual Deng is the managing director of the Ebony Center for Strategic Studies, a local think tank working to advise the government on economic policies. Deng says the government needs to develop other sectors of the economy. He says the country has a vast fertile land that could be used for growing food to address the looming food insecurity in the country.
I take agriculture as not only the engine of growth of South Sudan economy, but also an important instrument to diversify our economy. So besides our basic commodities that we can produce, sorghum in the north, Darang area, Great Upper Nile, you have cassava in Equatoria, you have horticulture in Equatoria also, which we can export, the mangoes, the pineapples.
The DTIS report was initiated in September 2013 and was supposed to be launched in 2014. The fighting, which began in December 2013, plunged the country into instability, preventing the launch of the report. The government devalued the South Sudan pound by 84% last year, resulting in hyperinflation, quadrupling the price of many basic commodities for consumers. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio.
We now go to Uganda, where tensions escalated in the Ugandan capital today following the third arrest this week of opposition presidential candidate Kizza Besigye. Protesters threw stones and blocked roads in the capital, Kampala, and police fired tear gas to bring the situation under control. Meanwhile, partial election results show Besigye trailing President Yoweri Museveni. Elizabeth Pollard has the full story for VOA from Kampala.
The situation was tense Friday following clashes outside the headquarters of the Forum for Democratic Change, the political party of opposition candidate Kizza Besigye. The altercation started after Besigye called a press conference Friday afternoon. Police surrounded the building and fired tear gas into the FDC compound. Soon after, they arrested Besigye and several top-level FDC members. Besigye's wife has tweeted that he was taken to Nagalama police station outside the city. This led FDC supporters to throw stones at police and set up barricades near the FDC headquarters, Kaseka Market, Katwe, and Bwezi. Much of the unrest was put down quickly by the Ugandan police using tear gas. Residents also report hearing gunfire, although there has been no confirmation as to whether these were rubber bullets or live ammunition. The Ugandan Red Cross says four injured persons were taken to Malago Hospital, although none had bullet wounds. Police have now been heavily deployed throughout Kampala. Police spokesperson Fred Inanga put out a statement saying they had received intelligence students were planning a riot and that the heavy deployment of military police was a preventative measure. The U.S. Embassy has warned Americans in Kampala to stay off the streets. Meanwhile, in Kololo, police surrounded the residence of another presidential candidate, Amama Mbabazi. Mbabazi was later escorted off the premises by a police officer, although it was not clear if this was an arrest. Tensions have been high in Uganda since Thursday, when many polling stations did not receive voting materials until late in the day. This led to confrontations between voters and the police, which included multiple rounds of tear gas. Although polling stations opened again in some areas Friday, many feel the delays were part of an effort by the Ugandan Electoral Commission to rig the election, an allegation denied by the commission. Besigye was initially arrested at a rally on Monday and again on Thursday night when he arrived at a house in the suburb of Naguru and accused those inside of stuffing ballot boxes. Partial results show incumbent President Yoweri Museveni leading with around 62% of the vote, with Besigye running a distant second. The winner of the presidential elections is expected to be announced Saturday afternoon. Elizabeth Pola for VOA News, Kampala.
We have some breaking news from the UN Security Council. The UN Assistant Secretary General Ivan Simonovic this past hour delivered remarks on the deteriorating situation in South Sudan to the UN Security Council. Simonovic says South Sudan is on the verge of fragmenting and the conflict threatens the stability of the entire region. He said, quote, an increasing number of armed defense groups have emerged in response to the government's highly militarized approach to addressing insecurity, with the diffusion of armed conflict in all parts of the country and the creation of local armed group fighting against the government troops, South Sudan faces the risk of fragmentation and related human rights violations. End of quotes. In addition, Smenovich says human rights defenders, journalists, have also been intimidated, harassed, and attacked and detained. He urged parties to the conflict to immediately cease all violations of international human rights law, urged the Security Council and regional leaders to continue engaging parties to the conflict, and call on the Security Council and the entire international community to provide financial support to establish transitional justice mechanism as outlined in the peace agreement. Coming up, we have a recap of today's headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam. And Carol is here. Carol, what do you have in the headlines?
Well, John, thanks for making time for me. As you know, we have a late-breaking story this past hour, which is the UN Assistant Secretary General, Ivan Simonovic, who this past hour delivered remarks on the situation in South Sudan to the UN Security Council. He said South Sudan is on the verge of what he calls fragmenting, and the conflict threatens the stability of the entire region. He said an increasing number of armed defense groups have emerged in response to the government's highly militarized approach to addressing insecurity, with the diffusion of the armed conflict in all parts of the country. And the creation of local armed groups, he said, fighting against government troops, South Sudan faces the risk of fragmentation and related human rights violations. He urged the parties to the conflict to immediately cease all violations of international human rights law. He also urged the Security Council and regional leaders to continue engaging the parties in the conflict. The medical charity MSF says the death toll from the shooting in Malakal has risen to 18, including two MSF staff. The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon condemned the attacks and warns that any act of aggression towards the UN and its facilities could amount to a war crime. MSF, or Doctors Without Borders, provides a medical service inside the UN's Protection of Civilians camp in Malakal. The French charity says it is treating dozens of civilians wounded in clashes that appear to be ethnically motivated. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
And that's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Ting Ran Did with M. Stars.
M. Stars.
We've been listening to M-Stars with the song Ting Ran Did. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We hope you have a peaceful weekend. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.